Well, hello. Good to see you all. It's always good to be here. And I want to go ahead and say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, because I may not see you again until the holidays are over. So Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. This is Advent. I'm going to work this in, do this along with the talk. So Advent is a time of preparation. We are preparing for Christmas. We prepare in the outer, you know, we buy gifts and we decorate and we cook and we wrap and we shop and we do all of those things in the outer, and it's beautiful and it's wonderful. And we also prepare on the inner this Advent season. We are preparing for, there's a word in here, we'll talk again, embodiment of the Christ. We go to sleep and we wake up in our lives. In the evenings on the couch, that's a frequent occurrence for me to sleep and wake up. And it's like that spiritually too. We go to sleep, kind of we forget the truth of who and what we are. And this and this is no different. We'll edit this part out too.
What? It's over here. It's open.
Just try it again.
It's open.
Okay, just try it again.
Testing. Testing, testing. Can you hear me now? Testing. Testing, testing, testing. Yes, can you hear me now? Is it working?
Can you hear? I don't
hear you. You can or cannot?
She can.
Okay.
I think it's the equipment.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead. Okay, so this is Advent. We are preparing. And each week we focus on some quality, some characteristic of this awakening, the spiritual embodiment of preparing for, remembering the truth of who and what we are. Last week was hope and faith. And to me, that's like a two-legged stool. Hope, you have to have hope. You have to be able to imagine what it is that you want to see, you want to have, you want to be or do. You have to have hope before it could even be a possibility. And then once you have hope, then you can acquire faith, where it is a knowing, just a knowing, a trust and faith and knowing that it is so. That's week one of Advent. Week two, is peace. And that's what we're working on today, is peace. Scripture in one of the little Advent booklets that I have has John 14:27, which is a very familiar passage. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Now, maybe not for you, but sometimes the first thing that comes to mind when I hear something like this is, how can I be peaceful? Look at everything that's going on. There's just so much. It's in the news, it's in the media, that everywhere you look, there's something that is causing us unrest. our hearts are troubled sometimes, and we do feel fear sometimes. How can we be peaceful? We have a lot of evidence that to the other side that no, things are not peaceful. I recently read a statement that resonated with me, and that's what I had mentioned already. It is said that Advent is our preparing to embody peace, love, and joy. And I love that word embody, because when I think of some of what I have done in the past anyway, maybe you guys too, is as I think about these qualities, the hope, the faith, the peace, the love, and the joy, as I think about them, it's kind of a mental sort of thing. Yes, and I might be there just for a second. But when I embody one of these, that's very different. I'm bringing that into my being. I am bringing that into my experience so that I can be peace, not feel peace, be peace. So I love the word embody. You might hear that several times here. We also, here, we teach that we are divine expressions of whatever it is, of love, of peace, of joy. We are God in expression as that. So today, we're wondering, how can we be an expression of peace? How can we embody peace? If we go back to that scripture that we just read, there are actually two kinds of peace. It says, peace I leave with you. That Jesus is saying these words. Peace I live with you. This is Christ's peace. I do not give to you as the world gives. So then he's talking about the world has, there's a different kind of peace that the world experiences. We expect, and what that is it's in the outer. It is the kind of thing, when I think of world peace, for example, what first thing that comes to mind for me is countries that are warring with each other. So world peace is they stop their wars. Ukraine and Russia will stop their war if they can be in peace. Families where there's a lot of family gatherings at this time of year. What do siblings do? They argue and they squabble and they all of that kind of thing. When they stop, when they're occupied and doing something else and it's quiet, that's peaceful. Relationships. It doesn't always have to be the cessation of something either. It can be, sometimes there'll be a scene that just makes you stop and you go, oh, that's beautiful, right? A nature scene, maybe a sunrise coming up. A couple days ago, there was a beautiful one. It had oranges and pinks. It was just beautiful. And we stop and we can feel that, oh, that wonderful peace. There's nothing wrong with the peace that we get when we are in the world. That's nice, that's fine. But that's different. Didn't say it was better, didn't say it was worse, it's just different. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. So you got the world kind of peace. It's temporary. It's undependable. You know, we never know when the kids are going to stop fighting, for sure. We don't know when the sunrises are going to happen. We don't know if the countries are going to stop. They're being at war with each other. Undependable. This other kind of peace, though, the Christ peace, that's the one. Charles, in Revealing Word, says this. He defines it this way, peace. Harmony and tranquility derived from the awareness of the Christ consciousness. Harmony and tranquility derived from the awareness of the Christ consciousness. This is what we're trying to do. This is what we are doing during Advent. We are getting to that Christ consciousness. And this is inner work. From the Advent booklets that I was looking at, there were a couple of statements that jumped out at me. It says, peace isn't perfection. You know, if we are going about our business and we're waiting for the tree to look just perfect. That may not happen, but if it looks good and you get that feeling, there's peace. Peace isn't perfection. Peace is presence, and peace is attention. This goes along with what we teach here, that we are to be in the moment, that we are to be present. And when we are present, we're not listening to that chatter that we talked about a few months ago, I guess. We are present. And when we are present, we can be free of the past and the future to be here now. And then we can turn our thoughts toward the Christ and be in that place. And we get to choose where we want to place that attention. Each week, what do we sing? Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. And for many years, I have been struck by this idea of, well, can't there be peace? You know, with it begins with me. For each of us, it begins with me. There is... Gary Simmons has a book, Eye of the Storm. Back in the day, we had done that as a class. And it's a metaphor, the eye of the storm, for that consciousness, that place in the center that is peaceful. That because in a hurricane, there is a center, a core that is quiet and still. And if you're in that quiet center, then you can see the storm raging around you, but you're not a part of it. And so the eye of the storm, that peaceful center, is the metaphor. Peace is focus and attention. The other words of the peace song, let us walk with each other. Family all are we. There's this inclusiveness that when we think about it, of course it makes sense. We are all here together. We are all one, as a matter of fact. So this, it is an inside job, this peace within. When we think about that peace, this Christ peace, this inner peace that isn't a reflection of anything out there, it's here. Makes a difference, doesn't it? When you're feeling it, it feels different than the kids have stopped fighting for a minute, you know, and you're waiting for the next shoot, you know, for them to begin again. It's very different, very different. And this inner peace is a strong foundation that we can use to walk through the world. We can keep our focus, our presence, our attention on that peace, that awareness, and we can move through the world being a peaceful presence. When I was taking classes at Unity back in the late 90s, they were called CEP classes, before SEE, anyway. So it was before ministerial school, before any inkling of ministerial school. They had adjunct teachers, and these adjunct teachers were ministers from the area. One of them, Linda Poole Kennedy, you might know her, yeah. She was the minister at Unity Southeast, and she had the best classes. I just loved having classes with her. She told a story in one of the classes that has never left me. It made a strong impression when she told me. It doesn't have anything to do with Christmas, but it does have to do with peace. She described a time in her life where a family, I believe the details have kind of gone fuzzy, but I think a family member had passed away, and I think it was a young person, and she told the story of how she went to the house of a family member and was going to be with her family as they grieved this death. She said, she described how she, when she walked in, there were people crying and wailing, and just the pain and the anguish was palpable. You know, you could feel it too. Just sort of hit her when she walked in. She described that she walked in, didn't say anything, but she, as I recall, she said she closed her eyes and lifted her hands, I don't know, lifted her hands, and began to just revolve very slowly, turning. And her eyes were closed, but she could hear the level of the crying and so forth, going down and going down. And when she finished her, going all the way around and opened her eyes, there was still crying, there was still sadness, but it wasn't that raging pain that it had been before. It was a powerful story. How did she do that? How was she able to bring peace to this room full of people without saying a word, without doing anything except quietly turning? She kept her awareness focused on that Christ consciousness. She embodied peace. Charles Fillmore talks about how we are energetic beings, and I would imagine the energy that that woman was emanating at that point in time, peace was amazing. There was another definition in the Revealing Word that jumped out at me, and it had to do with what Linda did. It was, you know, I looked up peace and we had a definition. Right under that was peacemaker. And that definition says in Daily Word, or Revealing Word, one who reduces to peace and harmony all the thoughts of strife, anger, and retaliation in his own mind. All the thoughts of strife, anger, retaliation. I would add fear, anguish, pain. You know, I would add some of those. Any of those kind of thoughts. A peacemaker is one who reduces that to peace and harmony. Let there be peace and let it begin with me. It's an inner job. Like Linda, placing focus and attention on spirit, we can be peace. Jesus said in Sermon on the Mount, blessed be the kind of roughly paraphrasing, blessed be the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Now the dictionary definition of peacemaker is not very different from the Revealing Word. It says, it's a person who brings about peace, especially by reconciling adversaries. A mediator, you know, people hire them to make peace. Peacemaker. But if you just apply a little bit of metaphysics to that, it's saying the same thing. The reconciling adversaries. Does anybody else have adversaries that talk in your head? I do. You know, I have arguments with two sides of me. I'd really like to go have that. No, you don't need that. You know, look what happened after Thanksgiving. You know, just arguing entities that are in there, the adversaries. So either definition works, bringing those into peaceful alliance. Now for years, this is the first time in, you know, and I've been around the earth several years, this is the first time I thought about how I treat areas and times of conflict. And one of the things I do is I remove myself. And if I see that there's an argument going on, there's a conflict happening, if I'm not directly involved in it, often I'll just step away. I'll go somewhere else. This year, this made me think about that. Because if I wanted to be like Linda, if I want to be a peacemaker, and I do, and I encourage all of us to consider taking that on because it's a much more active role. If I do, then I don't want to be the one leaving the room unless I can't get my thoughts anchored in that consciousness. If I'm part of the distress, then maybe go get myself back in there. But don't leave, Sharon. Stay and focus. Put my attention and my focus on peace. It was a new thought for me. Maybe you too. Because when we do that, last thought in that is when we do that, we begin to send out that energetic, radiating peace. We can be that peaceful presence. So this Christmas season, let us take up the intention to be peace, to embody peace, to be a peacemaker. There is a great need for it, for each and every one of us to be that. And an affirmation that came from the booklet that I thought was really good, and we can use it in remembering and keeping it, using Advent as a time to make this a habit, you know, make be this. The affirmation, I'll read it once and then we can do it together in two pieces. But the affirmation is, on this day of Advent, may my heart and mind be established in the peace of God. Isn't that beautiful? Let's do it in two pieces. The first part, let's do the on this day of Advent. On this day of Advent, may my heart and mind be established in the peace of God. May my heart and mind be established in the peace of God. God bless you. Let's practice being peace. I invite you to gently close your outer eyes if you haven't already. To breathe. Bring your attention strictly to your breath. Breathing in and breathing out. We place ourselves in this present moment. And we adopt a listening aspect so that then we are very much centered in this present moment. We are open, we are receptive, we are willing. There is this wonderful, blessed silence. And as we just sit in a listening mode, perhaps we can feel our hearts expand in the silence, in this sacred stillness, in the present moment. We are aligned with that consciousness of the divine. It is from this centeredness, this awareness, that we have access to all power, to all strength, to all wisdom. We are expressions of Source. We set an intention to be mindful in this Advent season, mindful of becoming that which we want to be, becoming expressions of hope and faith, of peace, of love, of joy. That is our intention. And on this day, we expand that intention to include being a peacemaker, being peace actively in our world, as we are peace. Not only does our life improve, does our life become more bearable, does our life become more satisfying and fulfilling, but we also are modeling and sending out peaceful vibrations, energy, toward everyone around us. We are modeling that expression of peace, that embodiment of peace. When we say all is well, we experience that, we feel that. We know that that is true. We have faith in that. So let us take a few moments in silence now to experience peace, to be and embody peace, to radiate peace in the silence. On this second Sunday of Advent, we are peace. We follow our way shower and teacher, Jesus Christ, who was called the Prince of Peace. We are a valuable contribution in our world, and we are grateful for the awareness, the knowledge, and the opportunity. For all of this good, we give thanks, and so it is. Amen.